Turn in your Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 12. Last Wednesday night, we talked about spiritual conflict. And that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we used the illustration that behind the scenes that we don't even see in the physical world, there's a spiritual battle going on. As we look at this end time prophecy, there's a unique chapter in Revelation, chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at all 17 verses of chapter 12 tonight. Because in it is an encapsulation of the spiritual battle from the beginning to the end. And so what we need to understand is that all the actors of the tribulation period are in this chapter. We see a woman who represents Israel. And we'll see the Old Testament prophecy that deals with that. We'll see the dragon. And its color is not insignificant. And we know that that is Satan. The man-child that's to be born is Christ. And we'll see that this is Christ, this is God's plan from the beginning for a man-child to come and be our deliverer. There is Michael as the leader of the angels that are fighting against Satan at this time. There is a reference to Israel and how a small remnant of Israel will look at Old Testament prophecy in Zechariah and see how many people actually come through the tribulation period. Christ has said, if it wasn't for the elect, if it wasn't that the days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. We've talked about the beast that comes out of the sea. That is the Antichrist. He will be a world dictator. There's a false prophet. He will be a world religious leader. And he gives homage to the Antichrist. So we're looking at all these tonight. And we're seeing how they play in history and in the future. In verses 1 and 2, we see the first point. We see the woman who is clothed with the sun. And in these first two verses, it is said, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. You use the Bible to interpret the Bible. You don't use your thinking to interpret what this spiritual, because the natural man can't see the spiritual things of God. You go all the way from the last book of the Bible to the first book of the Bible to see who this is talking about. Remember, there was a man by the name of Joseph. He had 11 brothers. And he had this dream. And in this dream is revealed things for this prophecy that John saw, this picture that John saw. And in Genesis chapter 37, verses 9 through 11, it says, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brother. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. It is time that we start observing what God's word says and that we do it. We need to do the truth of it. Now, later on, as Jacob is giving blessings to his children. Some are good, some are bad. But he talks about Judah, and he says that the scepter will not depart out of Judah. And he also says until the day spring arise in his heart. It's talking about Christ. This woman is with child in verses 1 and 2 here. And Christ comes from the nation of Israel. And so this wonder in heaven, God's chosen people, the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars representing the 12 patriarchs. So we see this Old Testament interpretation. We see in this that there's the travail of this woman to bring forth a child. It's the sufferings of Israel at Christ's birth. We are coming into the Christmas season. And I love the Christmas story. And I love all the prophecies that was fulfilled about Christ coming to earth. And I'm so glad that God's word is true. And I'm so glad that God keeps his promises. And I'm so glad that we have a Savior as named Christ the Lord. Amen. And it says here in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations." He's talking about Israel. You know, later on, there's another verse. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It's Christ. And he says here, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And Israel was in trouble. They were under Roman rule. They'd been under oppression. They had not had their own country for centuries. And now the Messiah comes from them. And so we see this travail. Now, we go back to a familiar prophecy that we've used before. Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. "After this, I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and when it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings." In verses 10, 3 through 4, we see the great red dragon. And it said, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and what? 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." This morning we talked about, do demons exist? And some people said, no, they don't exist. This is where they come from. This is how we know that there were a third of the angels that followed Christ. And it said, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." The 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns, we'll get to this later on, but it is a revived Roman Empire. It came out of this. Daniel saw a statue with the feet that had 10 toes, and it was iron mixed with clay, and it couldn't stand. And then a great stone out of heaven came down and crashed the whole statue out. talking about the judgment of God. This is just an introduction, but we're not talking about that right now. Okay? What is the significance of red? Satan goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes to kill and to destroy. Red means the bloodshed that's made. Red means the death that's going to happen. The tail are the fallen angels which follow Satan. And here's where we get the third, right here. So when is this happening? This is happening before the fall of man. This is happening before Satan was, this happened and Satan was cast out. So this is a viewpoint way back, almost an eternity past. With the action of the dragon. It says here, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. All you need to do is read the Christmas story and read the account in Matthew chapter 2 about Herod and what happened when the wise man came to Herod. And he said, they said, where is he as born king of the Jews, for we have come to worship him? And Herod said, you go find him, you bring him back. You bring me word back so I can worship him. No, Herod was Satan's instrument. Herod wanted to kill him. And you know what happened? The wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they went home another way. And then Christ was, Joseph was told to take Mary and Jesus down to Egypt to protect him. And then out of Egypt have I called my son. And Herod finds out that he was mocked. And here's the thing. Here's a literal interpretation of this. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that it was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. That is a fulfillment of Satan trying to devour the Christ child. You go through Christ's ministry, and the Pharisees, time after time after time, tried to stone him, tried to kill him, and it was not his time. Until he says, I lay down my life, and I'll pick it up again. Because greater love than no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Satan has been trying to conquer Christ since the beginning. He wanted to take Christ's birthright. He wanted to take Christ's position. He says, I'll be like the Most High. Christ is the Most High. I want people to worship me. We will worship Christ. So he wanted to devour that. So we see the great red dragon, which is Satan. In the symbology of the picture here, in verses 5 and 6, we see the man-child, Christ. How do we know these things? It's obvious from the scripture. Now, if you just read this like it goes speed reading through here, you're not going to get this. You need the Holy Spirit to illuminate, but the Bible is interpreting itself here. So, we have Israel identified, man-child coming back. We see the spiritual warfare that's starting as soon as God's plan of redemption was set in place. And in verses 5 and 6, we see this. It says, and she brought forth a man-child. Okay? Got news for all those progressives. Christ was a man.
Amen.
Okay? He was a man. Okay? Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. You know, it's really not too hard to figure out why Israel said, if you are the Messiah, we need to make you king now. Because they saw all these prophecies in the Old Testament about this. Rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So now we make the connection with the tribulation period. We've gone from time past, through the promise that was made to Adam and Eve in the garden, to all the promises made to Abraham, and to Jacob, and to Isaac, and to Moses, and to David, and all the prophets. And in this few verses, we've gone 6,000 years, and we've come to the birth of Christ. And now we fast forward 2,000 plus something to this time here. But here's Old Testament revelation again. Because all these things were a mystery. And the New Testament is all the Old Testament mysteries revealed. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 9, talking about Christ, it says, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." Now, you know something? When verse and verse use the same words, it's got to mean it. There should be no doubt who this is. "Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." What is the... Okay, so he was caught up unto God. Well, Christ arose. And then he ascended from the Mount of Olives. And all the men were looking up. And they said, "Why are you looking up? He's coming back." But the word "caught up" is the same word that's used for us. The rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." The same word here. Okay? Caught up unto God. We're going to be where God is, where Christ is. Hallelujah! Yeah. That ought to get you excited. "Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." He's already beat us by a couple thousand years. Okay? "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Then, there are a woman's 3.5 year flight. Daniel 9, verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week," that's halfway, that's 3.5 days or 3.5 days of years, okay? "He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination," which is the abomination that Christ was talking about, Matthew chapter 24, "of desolation," speaking of Daniel the prophet, "he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation." What's the consummation? The great tribulation. "And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Who are the desolate? Those who do not know God. And they're all going to be punished. They're all going to be punished. Now, go back in time. Well, actually, go back in time. Satan was banned from heaven. But right now, does Satan have access to heaven? Yes. Does he have access to the throne of God? Yes. He is the accuser of the brethren. I think the greatest example of that is in Zechariah, where we have God the Father, we have God the Son. There we have Joshua the high priest, and he has dirty garments. And we have Satan that's oppressing him and accusing him. So he's can accuse right now. And Christ is our mediator. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Now, this being cast out of heaven, after this event, which is in the tribulation period, Satan can approach God no more. Never allowed to come back. It says, "Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there what? Place found any more in heaven. So the accuser of the brothers cast out. No more place. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent which is called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay? Satan is cast out of heaven by who? By Michael the archangel and all the host of heaven. There's four pictures of Satan here that we see. We see he is the great dragon. It's the empire that he dominates. Remember, Satan tempted Christ. He said, you bow down and you worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Okay? That old serpent, his action, which started in the Garden of Eden and has plagued mankind since, his tactics haven't changed. His actions haven't changed. Devil. The word for devil means to slander. He speaks evil against us and against anything that's holy and anything that's right. And Satan, the word for, that's translated Satan in English, is Hebrew for adversary. Okay? For our adversary, the devil, walk about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may desire. Now, when Satan is cast out in the middle of the tribulation period, he realizes that the end is near. And part of the trouble of the tribulation is in the tribulation period is Satan throwing a temper tantrum in a massive spiritual way. And so there is, in verses 10 through 12, Satan's wrath because he knows he's going to lose. And he's going to go down fighting. He's going to drag everybody down with him he can. But in Christ there's victory. And we see the ultimate victory of the saints. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God. We're going to see here as we go through the judgments that there was a book, a sealed book. And everybody was asking, who can open the seals of this book? And it's Christ. He's the only one worthy to do this. And the power of this Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. A little side note for you. You know, when you do something wrong, you give Satan the ability to go right up to God and say, see, I told you they wouldn't follow you. That in itself ought to cause us to live a better life. Just that fact right there. Don't give him any ammunition. Don't give him any cause. We need to live a holy life. Verse 11. And they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And they hope. And by the word of their testimony. You can't overcome Christ, Satan, unless you have the testimony of Christ. And they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Not on earth. Where? In the heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. From the time that Antichrist does this abomination thing to the time that we have the Battle of Armageddon and Christ comes down and splits the Mount of Olives, that's the time he's talking about here. So what do we see here? Verse 10, we see their salvation. That gives you the victory. over Satan. His deliverance and completion of the divine program. And I think it's appropriate to put it here in Revelation 12, where we see in this panoramic view of time. The victory of the saints. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The victory of saints is by the blood of the Lamb. In the letters that Jesus tells to write, that tells John to write, he talks about overcoming by the blood, overcoming by Christ. Okay? The blood of the Lamb nullifies all the accusation of Satan. Only his blood can wash away all sin. The word of their testimony. You know, you can never win an argument unless you say something. And we have the word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you know him. If you've been sanctified by the blood, sanctified by the word, because his word is truth.
Amen.
It opposes Satan's lies by preaching truth. And the reason that we have the problems that we have today is because truth is not told. Lies are told and nothing's there to refute it. We're setting the world up for this right here. And they love not their lives unto the death. Now, what that reads is martyrdom. And I'll go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He's talking to the church at Smyrna. And he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee a crown of life. For whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. But whosoever will keep his life shall lose it. And that losing it is for the sake of the gospel. So salvation is deliverance. In completion of the divine program, we see the victory of the saints by the blood of the Lamb, word of the testimony, and love not their lives unto the death. Are you ready to go for the ultimate sacrifice? There's no other way to win. This is the victory overcoming the world. Even our faith. 1 John 5:4. Satan's wrath is released because his end is near. Verses 13 through 16, we see the persecution of Israel in the Great Tribulation. And when his dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Not persecuting Christ, persecuting who? Israel. God's chosen people. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place where she is nourished for a what? Time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So Israel is supernaturally protected during these last 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of her mouth. Satan's first target, tribulation period, after he's cast out of heaven, is Israel. You know something? What did Christ say when you see the abomination of desolation as spoken unto David? Run for your lives! Don't wait around! Don't pick up anything. Don't go back looking for your pen drive. Okay? which I left tonight. Don't turn back. Run. Run. Matthew 24, verse 16 says, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. The length of this persecution is 3.5 years. The method of persecution and the miracle of salvation is God's purview. God will never let you be tempted above that which you're able. God will always make a way of escape. God will provide for you in distress. I do not fear what man can do unto me. My God is able to deliver me. Now, I don't know if you can see this. I want you to say what some Bible scholars, and I kind of tend to believe it. In the mountains east of Jerusalem, east of Judea, in modern day Jordan, there is a place called Petra. And Petra means a rock. Down here, you can see it's a fortress. They had already built stuff there. And you get in there, and it's a mighty fortress. You know, a mighty fortress is our God. He's a bulwark that never fails. And God's going to put them out in the wilderness. Ah, why do some people think it's over here? Because the wilderness in Egypt, in Israel, was east of the Jordan River. Okay? So that's why a lot of people think it's this, okay? It could be this. I'm not going to be around to see it. You better not be around during this time, or you're doomed. There's divine help. There's eagle's wings. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. He has seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I what? Bear you on eagle's wings. As much as God was sovereign to deliver Israel out of Egypt, He's going to be sovereign and deliver Israel out of this tribulation now. And brought you unto Myself. Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 and 12. As an eagle stirreth out her nest, fluttering over her young, spreadeth abroad her wing, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them. And there was no strange God with him. No strange God. So we see the persecution of Israel in the great tribulation. Verse 17, we see the persecution of the godly remnant of Israel. As we go through the seal judgments and the bowl judgment and the trumpet, large percentages of people are killed. Verse 17, it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God, and have the what? Testimony of Jesus Christ. So even through the tribulation, there's no different way of getting saved. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. Zechariah 13, verse 8 gives us some insight on the magnitude of the death of the saints. And shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts there shall be cut off and die. But the third part, the third, shall be left therein. The decimation of humanity during the tribulation period is nothing to be trifled with. It's something that we need to be prepared for now. Do you know it as your Savior? Christ has won the battle for you and for all of us now. There is no second chance. If you're taken tonight, you can't say, I didn't know. There is no excuse. This is coming. As we start turning out of all these parenthetical things and we start turning to what's really going to happen in the 7-year timeline. We need to be thankful for God for our salvation.
Amen.
We need to be thankful for God for our mercy. We need to be thankful to God for our grace. We need to be thankful for God for His Word.
Amen.
And we need to follow it. Work for the night is coming. No man can work. Work while it's day. Let's work until Jesus comes. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. And Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask you this time of invitation. Father, you search our hearts. Father, if someone here does not know you, don't know where they would spend eternity, Father, I pray that tonight, when we sing the first verse, they'll come forward, they will understand, we'll show them from the Word how to get saved. And Father, make that public profession of faith. Lord, for us, help us to make a commitment, new and afresh, to follow you, knowing that this is coming. Help us to be a watchman on the wall. I say, this is coming, you need to be prepared for this. Lord, be with this time of invitation, have your Holy Spirit have full reign here. We ask this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.